You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Over these last weeks and even a couple of months, I've been getting real practical regarding things regarding our finances and how to do it. So, for example, last week you've heard, you know, to invest. But if you make the wrong investment, or you don't know how to evaluate an investment opportunity, that may not be a good thing. So that's why we've taken the time to do this. And so we've been going through part four of this, and y'all can look at this and meditate on all of it as you have opportunities. But we start talking about how to cause financial increase to come. And the first thing we said is that you have to put God first in your finances through tithing and giving, being a good steward over what you have. We spent about 3 weeks on that. Then last week we talked about learning to invest. And then the next part talks about preparing for your children's future, preparing for your children's future, which is what I want to, this is going to be a brief lesson tonight, but I want to give you some real practical ways of how you can do that. How many parents do I have here? All right. How many future parents do I have here? Amen. All right. So the majority of people in here tonight appear to be parents. And so as parents, it is part of our responsibility to prepare for our children's future. Whether or not that was done for you, then don't make that be the determination of what you should do, okay? Some of us, we had things done to us that we wouldn't want to be done, that we wouldn't want to perpetuate to our children. Amen? Okay, some of us were beaten ways, and at some point you got to say, you know, that wasn't good. I didn't like that. So why am I doing that? I didn't like having to get a switch and take all the leaves off of it and braid it together so I can get beat. Okay, now why? So certain things you don't want to perpetuate, right? I was beat with extension cords. Y'all don't know nothing about that, okay? I never beat my children with extension cords. They're things that you learn to do and you things you learn not to do. And so talking about this whole thing of preparation, this is a Herbert Bailey original, and that is preparation is the key to avoiding crisis. Everybody say preparation is the key to avoiding crisis. Okay, the worst car accident that I ever had, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a fatality or anything, but I don't know if the person got hurt. I know the car got messed up pretty bad, but it was on a Saturday in April 1996, 1998 rather, as we were, it was going to be our last Saturday out. The next morning, we were having our first service for our building that we leased at 3801 River Drive. And so I went to pick up some things from the Postal Workers Union Hall here up the street, and then turning down Piney Grove going towards 26. It had just started to rain a little bit. My son Tyler, I don't know, Tyler was maybe about 9 or 10 years old. Okay, he was in the car with me. And as I went to navigate around a little bend there and around a little curve, I was turning, but the car said, I'm going straight. And I almost hit pretty much a head-on collision with another vehicle. And it was only one reason why that happened, okay? I wasn't going real fast. I probably may have been going a little bit faster than I should have, but it had just started raining. For those of you who don't know, when it hasn't rained in a long time, and then the first rain is going to be, it's very greasy on the roads because of the car with the oil and the fumes and all those kind of things, all that stuff mixes together. And anyway, and so, but the one reason why that accident happened is because I had bald tires. So ever since then, I am real conscious of bald tires, okay? My kids can tell you, Chandler can tell you, I'm going to walk around his car and spend, and say, boy, you need to place those tires there. You know, you got my grandchildren in there. You need to place those tires. And I know most people, well, what's the big deal about tires? Because I realize that bald tires can cause you to be in a bad accident, okay? But when you don't have money or when you just deal with crisis, you're always in crisis mode versus maintenance mode, okay? And there's some things we ought to move from crisis mode to maintenance mode to preventive mode. That's what money allows you to do. That's so good. Boy, that's good. Money allows you to go from crisis mode to maintenance mode to preventive mode. Preventive mode, I mean, maintenance, you're just maintaining what you got, okay? And that's better than crisis because a lot of things, if you maintain it, you won't have the crisis. But then if you've even got more money, you can totally prevent that, okay? Now, for example, this is me. for the most part. Now my main vehicle, for the most part, I don't keep a vehicle over 100,000. When it gets 100,000 miles, I'm pretty much ready to get rid of it, okay? I'm not telling you that, but that's what you need to do. There was a time I didn't have a choice on that, okay? But that's my whole reason for that is pure preventive mode. I know you're more likely to start having problems with a car once it has depending on the vehicle too. Once it has 100,000 miles, then you're on a car that has 50,000. You understand what I'm saying? But money gives you those options. And so we got this whole thing of preparation. Preparation is the key to avoiding crisis. Let's look at a couple of scriptures as I make this point. Proverbs 30 and verse 25. Proverbs 30 and verse 25. It says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. It said, now the ants aren't real strong. He said, but they got enough sense to prepare their meat when? In the summer. When's the last time y'all saw some ants with some coats on and shivering on top of the snow on the way trying to find some food? Okay? We're not even conscious of ants in the winter. Why? Because you don't see them. They are in the ground. They're in their holes. They have gathered their food for the during the summer, so they can make it through the winter. That's a simple scripture about preparation. It says, here's the question: are you smarter than an ant? Okay, the ant has enough sense. Prepare your food in the summer, so you won't have to be trying to come out and freezing to death in the winter when you could have prepared. So an ant is smart enough to avoid the crisis, is what the scripture is telling us. Go to Proverbs 24 and verse 27. Proverbs 24 and 27. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Now, the Lord gave me this scripture many years ago when I was trying to come up with priorities about what to do and when to do it. We got in the church and my personal finances. I came across this scripture, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thy house. Now, I think that one translation of this scripture says something like, put first things first. In other words, this is saying, before you worry about getting things for yourself or getting your dream house or whatever, prepare, do some planning, prepare your work outside in the field. Look at that scripture from New Living Translation. Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. So what this is saying, that there is an order to getting things done, okay? Now, somebody, if you follow us on social media or follow my life on any level, or even listen to my stories, I'm not saying this with any type of arrogance or whatever, but it's obvious we're not broke. Amen. Okay, I mean, the things we do, we travel, and things we choose to go to. Come on, you even just going to a NBA game. Broke folks shouldn't be going to NBA games because that's rent money. No, I'm serious. You can't have season tickets to the Hornets then tell me you can't pay your rent. I know how much they cost. Okay, so this is just saying putting things in order now. But now, you've heard me talk about this before. When we went to our 30th anniversary, which would have been in 2015, okay, Pastor Marston and I, we went to Paris, okay? But I had told her when she was 18, one day I'm going to take you to Paris, okay? Now, see, she had an incentive to stay with me, okay? I couldn't do it for about 30 years, but come on, look at your neighbor. If your spouse with you, just tell them, hang in there with me. Hang in there with me. It's going to get better. I'm going to take you somewhere one day. Okay? And so we went, but after we got, saw us on Facebook and different things, people have been married 5 years. I told my husband, I want him to take me to Paris. People married 10 years. We'll never go nowhere. But you don't know the story behind it. One, the story was I told her 30 years ago, it took 30 years to keep the promise. But what had happened is that after putting our children, 4 children, through college, and then one time, 2 of them were in private colleges, and then two of them were in private high school, private school. And we're paying all this money, to keep them, paying all this private school tuition. And after they got through school and I'm no longer paying tuition, you know what I realized? I said, we're rich. I said, man, we can do some stuff with this money. Okay, now while we were doing that, I mean, we were living by faith, believing God to do it and all that. But now once his money is freed up, I said, oh, man. I said, now I got brain space to think, man, I've never been to Europe. We can travel to Europe. We can do this. But my point is that before I did that, my kids' education was taken care of. I wasn't spending my children's college money going to Paris. Okay, now some of you are saying, ain't their money, is my money. I get it. But what I'm telling you is that as parents, we have a responsibility to prepare for our children's future. Now, let me show you a couple things in the scripture regarding preparation. Abraham, I'm not going to read all this, but go right to Genesis 25 and 10. Genesis 23, 13 through 20, we see Abraham, he bought a plot of land. He bought a cemetery for his family. The first person he ended up being buried in it was Sarah. And then here's an interesting fact, y'all, about Abraham. Sarah died when she was 107. Abraham was 10 years older than Sarah. So Abraham was 117 when he lost his first wife. And I say first wife because he got married again. He was 117. Now, I don't know how long he dated the second wife. That was Keturah. I don't know. They were courting for about 2 years. I don't know how old it was. But then after he got married to the second wife, he had 7 more children. Forget Solomon. Look at Abraham. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Okay, but he could have been 30. He was young enough to handle all those women. Abraham, 117 plus, got married again and had 7 more children. Everybody say, now we got new revelation. I need the blessing of Abraham. Give you a whole new revelation. The blessing of Abraham. But he bought this cemetery plot. So Genesis 25 and 10, okay. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Hath, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. And then I believe his first son would end up being buried there as well. So he bought a cemetery plot before he died. Everybody say before he died. So he realized he was going to die. He realized he had family members who was going to die. And he planned in advance. Okay. Joseph helped Egypt avoid economic crisis with a preparation plan. We hear about how he became the prime minister of Egypt and all that. But that's because he gave them a preparation plan. Look at it. Genesis 41, verse 34 through 36. Pharaoh has his dream. He doesn't know what to do. And then Joseph comes. He said, this is what the dreams mean. He said, let me tell you what to do. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part. That means 20%. Now, a lot of people use this as a good rule of thumb to, you know, to manage your finance. In other words, give God his 10 and then, you know, you do some type of saving with the other 10 and then live off the rest. I think that can perhaps be good. But the point is saying that he told him take 20% part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. He said, while we're booming, while the economy is roaring, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. He said, make some storehouses because economies turn. And whatever president is in the White House in the United States, gets the credit, good or bad, all right? And so, you know, we're people of faith, and I believe, especially if we operate in prudence and wisdom, you know, we can make it through anything. God promised he'd take care of us. He'd supply our needs according to his riches and glory. But all the financial gurus are saying that based upon how the economy is going right now and with all the deregulation again by this current administration, that we're probably headed towards recession in 2020, okay? But that doesn't have to take everybody out. That don't mean everybody got to start losing their houses. Amen. He says that the land perished not through the famine. So he said just because the famine comes, we don't have to perish. Y'all see that? Just because the famine comes, we don't have to perish. So he gave them a plan to avoid economic crisis. Preparation is key, is the key to avoiding crisis. Solomon's assignment was what? What was Solomon's assignment? Build the temple. David, his father, wanted to build it. And God said, no, you can't build it. You've been a man of war. You killed too many people. He said, but, and God really said, listen, did I ask you for a temple? I don't even need a temple. He said, but since you, he said, have not dwelt in tabernacles until now. He said, but since you insist upon building a temple, he said, it can be built, but you won't build it. It'll be your son's responsibility to build the temple. So now we pick up here in 1 Chronicles 22 and 5. What we call our Supersede Sunday has a precedent in the scripture here, because he told all the leaders, gather them together, and he said, this is how much I'm giving. He told everybody to come and let them know how much you're giving, and then everyone else came. And after they gathered this great resource of money to build the temple, David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. That's where you get tenderoni from. Okay. And the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. It must be palatial. It needs to be laid. I mean, it needs to impress everybody in the world of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore make preparation for it. So come and read that last part with me, that last sentence. So David prepared abundantly before his death. When do you prepare? Okay, you prepare before your death. Now, our economy, economic system today even allows us to prepare before our death that people can benefit after our death. That's called what? That's called insurance. Okay, that's not a trick question, y'all. Okay, insurance allows you to prepare now, and your family can even be in a better situation or in a situation that they can recover easier as a result of insurance. So we see that they all prepared. Now, with that in mind, next point I want to tell you is that the Bible teaches, as I've been saying, that parents ought to prepare financially for their children. Parents ought, now I know we do things differently now and all that, and you know, we have different customs, and then people do, stuff got to be paid, so people don't care who pays it, you know, just get it done. Okay, but historically, traditionally, you know, like the bride's family would pay for a wedding, right? Y'all didn't know that, okay? The bride family take care of the wedding, and then the groom took care of the honeymoon. I remember because I did all this here: the honeymoon, the flowers, and the limo, that kind of stuff. But the wedding itself was generally okay, and so it's understood that if you expect your child to be married, that you need to be planning to pay for a wedding. See, I'm trying to change your raise your thinking here. I know you're spending all this money, but you got daughters who ain't married yet. Now they're gonna get married, and they gotta have a little rinky dink wedding because nobody got any money. Mm-hmm. Y'all mad at me now? Okay, but they female. And you know they've been believing God for a husband. You've been believing God for them. Okay, but ain't nobody prepared to pay when they get married. Okay, so there's weddings. There's, of course, college education, right? How many of y'all want your children to go to college? Amen. There's college education. And it comes quick. Okay, it comes, it's prom and then tuition. Okay, it come quick. You know, you think about paying for this limo for the prom, and that's, no, it's tuition due in advance, okay? So you got prom, you got college tuition, you got weddings. There's something else I want to mention. It was at least three things that things that you can think about. Your children, they're gonna get their first home. Well, what the hell? Ain't nobody helped me with mine. Well, that's because they didn't have a pastor who taught them you should prepare for this stuff. Just because it took me, just because I didn't own my first home until I was 40. I didn't own my first home until we rented homes. I didn't own my first home until I was 40. My kids didn't have to wait till they're 40 to get their first home. Okay? So, all of my married children. Well, I got three married children, right? I got three married children. Two of them. Soon as they got ready to buy a home, I was ready to give them some money to help them with their home. Okay, that's something I set out to do. I had on my mind that I was going to do. Now I don't pay mortgages. You understand? But I can help get them over the hump. I can help get them started. I don't run businesses, okay? But I can help them get started. My son Tyler, he's doing really good. The conversation we have now, he called me and tell me about, and then some stuff I help him with, and when I help him with in terms of thinking it through and planning it out and all that, he's doing really good. He's doing really well, okay? And he works hard. He does. When I say hard, I mean diligent. I don't mean like grinding, but he works diligent. But I help him get started, okay? When he got ready to go to law school, I wasn't planning to go to law school. I was planning to go to Europe some more. And then he told me going to law school. I'm like, whoa, I wasn't thinking about law school, okay? And so I made a deal with him, law school. I paid half his tuition for law school, and he got student loans for the other half. And that was his first student loans. He went to Hampton University, okay? And I paid for 3 years out of pocket for him to go to Hampton University. Y'all know the story about it. Well, I try not to talk too much about this because I get a little sensitive. Okay? Because he went on a football scholarship. That's why he went there. He told me he had a football scholarship. We all rejoiced. And then after he got there, Dad, I don't really like football like that. What? I like football like that. Football been good to me. Okay, now I don't want to play football. And then after he had already talked to his mom, and she said, you know, he's doing really well at Hampton. You know, he's doing really, you know, now he'd gone to an HBCU, and he didn't come into his own, you know, and now he's power to the people, the black man, you know, the talented 10th, and all that kind of stuff. So I made the decision that he could stay at Hampton. And then I paid out of pocket with the help of something I'm going to show you about in a moment. I paid out of pocket. Pocket to help him stay at Hampton University. But all that took preparation. See, my point is your children's education shouldn't cause crisis if you're able to prepare. That's all I'm saying. Okay? All right, so the Bible teaches 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. So Tyler and I were talking last week, and he says, I don't know what he was looking at. He said, Dad, Hampton, you know, Hampton costs like $40,000 a year. I said, really? Like he thought like all of a sudden it's no. I said, it was like 36, 37 when you was there just a couple years ago. He said, you paid that much? I said, bye, boy. See, he wasn't thinking about it. But now that he got a, you know, now he's looking at it from different eyes. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you. Now, Paul's talking about coming to his spiritual children, see them at Corinth, the Corinthian church. He said, and I will not be burdensome to you. He's talking about financially here. He said, I'm not trying to be a financial burden on you. For I seek not yours, but you, for children ought not to lay up for the parents. Okay? He said, I'm there to be a blessing to you. I want to contribute to your life. I'm not trying to take from you. Based upon this principle, here's the principle. Children ought not lay up for the parents. When it's talking about lay up, it's talking about prepare financially. Children ought not lay up for the parents. Read the last sentence with me. But parents for the children. So what are parents supposed to do? Lay up or plan financially, put in store for their children. That's part of the responsibility of being parents. Okay? So when you're thinking, when you're sleeping with somebody, think about it. I got to lay up. After I got to lay up after I done laid up. Mm-hmm. See, some folks doing the first layup, but you know, laying down, but they ain't doing laying down, but they ain't laying up. After you lay down, you're supposed to lay up. Am I in the Word? Am I in the Word? I'm in the Word. All right? So let me show a couple ways that you can do that. A couple ways you can do this. It's going to be quick and simple. Well, but so I'm not trying to give you all the detail. These are headlines. You can get with people, do some research, go to financial institutions, research online. I'm a big advocate for online banking. And the reason why I'm a big advocate for online banking is because you don't pass it on your way to the mall and think about going to the ATM. Okay? It's somewhere. When the last time y'all saw it? Ally Bank, when you're riding around town here. Ally is online. So you got to get on a computer, on your phone. Okay, you're limited usually by about 6 transactions a month in terms of taking money out. So I'm a big advocate of using online savings vehicles.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Black does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Preparing for Your Children's Future.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.